welcome to the very first
episode.
Premiere episode.
Karma is a Pod. Woo! Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
And on today's inaugural episode, we are going to be discussing our Eras Tour experience. So we, all three of us together, were at Night 2 of Chicago on June 3rd, 2023. And obviously we had a fantastic time, like so many did. The road to get there was perhaps maybe not the easiest.
Yes, I did get a $250 speeding ticket on my way to get to the Eras Tour, but it was well worth it. It was worth the extra $250.
Yes, it was.
And to go. Remember when Zach lost his phone, like, right before we were going to go in?
Yes, that happened. Left the keys in the car.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Honestly, the fiasco started with the ticket buying. We did not actually make it into the tickets for Chicago. We got that, like, second chance email that was like, hey, you know, we noticed you were a verified fan but didn't purchase tickets, you know, and then they gave us the option to opt in to purchase tickets at a certain price point. Ramal went in at a higher price point than we did, so we actually sat in two separate sections. We were in the lower bowl and Ramal was on the floor.
Yes. I will say once we got into the stadium, everything was fantastic. We immediately started talking to, you know, other concert goers and sharing bracelets and just having a really great time.
I think that honestly one of the things that, and this was Zach and I's first Taylor concert experience. I know Ramal has been to two other tours. But one of the things that I found really, really great about it was the fact that, you know, all the fans were interacting, I think, in such a positive way, regardless of age. You know, you could trade bracelets with a little kid or an older person, and everybody was just sort of, like, really happy to be there and really, you know, supportive and complimentary. You know, I got a lot of compliments on my costume, which made me really happy.
Your costume was excellent.
We did go on really hard on the costumes.
Yes.
My costume, I went for, thank you. I think we all did a great job. I did the Karma look, the Blurple. I attempted the Blurple Karma costume with like a blue sequin leotard and then like a skirt and then the boots. The boots were regrettable, I have to say.
They looked great.
They were probably like maybe 4 or 5 inches, but
oh my god, that's a lot.
I tried to wear them the whole time. You know, we did not get parking at Soldier Field itself. So we had to shuttle from like, you know, 15 minutes away and then walk quite a bit. And I put on those shoes right at the beginning, even though I brought extra shoes, I was determined to wear them the whole time. And it was a mistake, you know? I mean, like, we did not sit down a single time during that concert, and I'm glad about that, but yeah. Yeah, do you guys want to talk a little bit about your costumes?
Yeah, Ramal, please talk.
Yeah, sure. So my costume was, like, very specific to, like, the 1989 tour. It was, like, the exact, like, skirt, like, sparkly top, sequin jacket thing that she wore, like, to do Welcome to New York, but then, like, going into New Romantics, and there was, like, the specific combination for New Romantics that was just really good, and, of course, like, the iconic 1989 sunglasses, which I'd always been really obsessed with. So yeah, that was mine, especially because 1989, I think, is still my favorite album. And that was the first tour that I ever attended. And so I was like, it was really nice to be able to wear that to the Eras Tour.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
And then my costume, I did the man. I felt that was appropriate.
Yes. There were limited options.
I had the beard.
For men,
I had the, you know,
the knockoff Gucci shirt
with the white shirt. And I had white pants.
It was so good.
It was like the yacht fit.
With the sunglasses and everything, when she's dressed like Leonardo DiCaprio and such.
Hey, I mean, it wasn't just us that thought our costumes were good, you know. Viewers may think differently, but so we posted our picture on Ramal's Instagram story, and Taylor Nation reposted us before the show even started. Yeah. I noticed it immediately. and texted Ramal, and she didn't notice at first. And then she comes back, and she's like,
"Yeah, I was just screaming. Like, I couldn't like get an internet connection because I think it gets worse like the further down you are. Mm-hmm. And when I just saw like Taylor Nation in all caps, I was like, absolutely, there's no way because I have like 300 followers and they've never liked anything of mine before. So that was just like really crazy.
Yeah,
just had the right costumes, right place, right time.
I believe that we may have had a slight advantage for being posted because we did have a man in our picture.
Yeah. Yes. I thought
we had a good chance, but
yes,
honestly, yeah. I think that was, you know, our greatest moment of legitimacy as fans, and we felt officially
definitely
anointed. I think that gave us the confidence that spurred us on to do this podcast.
Yeah, now definitely.
Exactly.
We're legitimate. I believe in my heart that Taylor watches the story of the page and maybe glanced at our faces for like half a second. I think that is a possibility. It's more likely than her seeing this podcast. So
that's true. That's
yes,
true.
It is.
At least in this moment in time.
Yes. For sure. And of course we'll put that photo on the screen so you can all see. Taylor Nation said that all of our fits were such a slay. Were they a slay? Tell us in the comments. Or maybe don't. Maybe don't tell us in the comments.
Only tell us if you really like them, actually.
Only tell us if you agree that they were a slay.
If you think that they were the best things you've ever seen. Because I thought we did a pretty great job. Like, we represented three different eras.
We did our best for throwing it together with the Amazon items.
Definitely. Definitely. We did a good job.
Yes.
We did a good job.
We'll have to wait to see if I can put together, like, a costume for the June show. Like, I told you guys what I want it to be, but I'm going to keep that a surprise. But we'll see if I can actually do it.
So you are going in Paris, right?
In Liverpool, actually.
In Liverpool. Nice. Okay.
June 13th. That is very exciting. 2024, which is, very exciting.
Yes. So post-tortured poet, so that is exciting.
Oh, yeah. That'll be crazy. That is very exciting. And then I'll get to see Long Live, which is really cool. Like, because
she has that. Wow. Yep, that's right. Show. That's right.
Long Live was not in the set. Yes. Right. It was an interesting stop in a lot of ways, because first of all, it was the site of one of the notorious Errors Tour moments.
Yes.
When the little girl, Taylor tried to bring the little girl that got the 22 hat up onto the stage, which was one of the errors that was listed in the Swiftball ballot until they retired it because it was too fraught. Controversial.
She was in kind of like a stream of consciousness moment. She was really excited. She thought this girl was adorable.
She came back
out. She came back and said, "I thought this girl was so adorable. I tried to bring her on stage, and then I realized, oh, I can't do that. Like, I'm not allowed to do that."
Yes.
Although she is Taylor Swift, she's allowed to
exactly.
do it. You
like,
see, that's the thing. If she tried to do it, she could have gotten away with it, but it wasn't going to happen. I think that she was worried about the child's safety. And I think that's
like
more than anything
why.
Exactly.
Right. But she was just like, it was like the child like spoke to her and she was like.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
It was really cute.
And people noticed when it
really
happened.
Cute, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
really
it was
odd
really
when
funny
it
time.
Happened. Because it was like, wait, is that person getting pulled up on stage? And so it was crazy that she clarified that
it seemed like it was happening.
It seemed like it was happening.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, it speaks to the whole euphoria of that moment. I feel like whenever you see those clips of what's happening there, everyone is just so deeply like excited and euphoric and happy that it's just like you feel like anything's possible. So that's probably why she was like, I could just bring her up here with me.
I know. I guess it's good to know that in some respect, even though I think we're about halfway through the first US leg at that point, but she was still kind of getting swept up in it, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, I do feel like she manages to summon the same level of enthusiasm, whether it's show one or show, you know, 100, but
sure. Which is really impressive.
Incredibly impressive. I think it was also a notable tour stop in that it had a special guest, which is something that, you know, despite sort of the protocol set by past tours, is something that hasn't been that frequent on the Eras tour.
Yeah, only a handful of people.
We saw Maren Morris come out to do You All Over Me. Zach does not know who Maren Morris is. I was excited.
Way to call
that
me
so
out.
Funny.
Huh?
But I was like, oh my God, it's Maren Morris. Zach's like, woo.
That's so funny. I know who Maren Morris is because of like that one song called My Church, I think, that you played for us years ago. And I fell in love with that track.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
But as we talked about, I did not know that song, and so it was a really interesting experience to sort of, like, I was, like, I basically just listened to the first verse and was bopping along, and then used whatever I could extrapolate from the first verse to fully pretend as though I knew that song and it was my favorite song ever to all fellow crowd members.
We were faking it. We were faking it, you know. I
canceled. But in that moment, it was your favorite.
Yeah, in that moment, it was our favorite. I was like, I've never heard this song before in my life, but it was my favorite song. Maren Morris was fantastic. She looked gorgeous, even though compared to Taylor, I think she's about my height. Like, Taylor is
she towers.
2 feet taller.
I have a picture. She towers. She towers.
Yeah, I mean, she looked beautiful, but
there must have been a few.
Taylor towered over
maybe
her.
A few big time Maren Morris fans in the crowd who must have had a hell of a night.
Yeah,
for sure.
I will say
I mean, I did not expect to see a guest, especially, like, you know, I know she was only bringing out guests who, you know, she had done songs with in the past, but it's kind of random that she turned up in Chicago, you know.
We also got the song from 50 Shades of Grey, right?
From 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
Yeah, Ramal was ready for that one.
Yes. I Don't Want to Live Forever, which is, like, one of my favorite songs that I've played probably a billion times. And I know that people don't really love it that much. Like, it's definitely not people's favorite, but I think it's one of the best songs she's ever done. And that's also why I had to pretend for the second one, because I was kind of, like, crowd reputation-wise, gloating or feeling very superior because I knew all the words. And no one else in my section did, and so I was like, guys, I know this song. And then when Maren Morris came out, I was like, oh, shit, I don't know any of this, but I have to, like, keep pretending because then I'm going to fuck my whole, like, reputation up. But it was good. It was really good. And they're, like, incredible.
All the Swifties were going to look at you and stare at you.
Right. Everyone around us
knew every
single lyric.
They were all
going to
look at you. Ramal, and they were going to stare at you and make you feel horrible about yourself.
Right.
Yes,
for not.
Exactly.
No, definitely. The fans were very supportive.
That's not what
it's
like.
Everyone was very supportive. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Awesome.
I think we should move on to our next segment.
Yeah, let's move on to our next
segment. Ramal, why don't you start us off for our next segment, please?
All right. So the next segment is a discussion of the costumes on the Eras Tour. And I honestly think that these costumes are probably the best that she's ever had across all of her tours.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things have enabled her to do that. Like, I love this one Tumblr account called Taylor Swift Style, and I know, Annie, you know about that one.
Definitely.
And she kind of talks about each costume and where it comes from, and I remember combing through from the first night, and every single one was, like, some huge designer. And I think definitely where she is in her career at this point has, like, enabled her to be able to do that, to have so many costume changes and set pieces, and it just makes it the theatrical production that it deserves to be. And so my first question for everybody, because I don't even know if we really talked about this, like, we've talked about costumes we've liked, but not what our favorites are. So what is everyone's favorite costume?
I think that out of all the costumes, and I think this is a fairly basic opinion, but I think that the Green Folklore is my favorite. When it first debuted, I was like, oh my god, that is the prettiest thing that I've ever seen, you know. And then it kind of disappeared, but she's been wearing it a little more. I was disappointed that she chose the white dress and not the Green Folklore for the movie, because I think almost all the other ones that she chose for the movie were my favorites from the various eras. Although I also love the purple. The Purple Folklore is my second favorite, I think, but yeah, I am partial to the green.
People really gravitate towards that outfit.
They
love that outfit. I'm going to go in a different direction.
Okay.
I am going to say, I'm going to shock the world.
Okay.
I'm going to shock the world.
I'm ready.
By saying that my favorite outfit on the Eras Tour is the All Too Well power jacket.
Interesting.
Over the red and black bodysuit.
The sequence?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe that the jacket is somehow, in an abstract way, representative of some type of maturity. And represents what the song is now versus what it was when it was originally released all those many years ago. I really like the power coat. It's controversial. It's controversial. Yes. Not a lot of people like it.
Right.
Which I find weird because I think it's a great article.
I will admit, I was like, that was one, I understand why that's a polarizing one because it's just so different from the kind of looks that she's associated with Red TV, especially All Too Well 10 Minute. Right. You know, I expected her to come out in a khaki trench coat
and a red scarf. Be cohesive, though, because it would have clashed with everything. Like, I don't think she could have come out in that.
No, I mean, if she was out there in the spark, like, obviously when she comes out in the 22 shirt with the hat.
Right.
Like,
yes, that's...
It makes sense with that. It's cohesive with the glittery look overall.
Right.
It would be a little random if after that she threw on a trench coat.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any sense. I will also throw out some love to the Reputation one leg bodysuit, which also, you know, is kind of a polarizing piece.
Right.
I think people like it, but it is weirdly the only costume that doesn't have an alternate.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, the only one that she hasn't changed. Yeah. I was going to say, Zach, like, in response to, like, I like what you said about the red jacket for All Too Well being a power look, because when I was thinking of it, I was almost thinking about the Red Tour, which had, like, that circus era theme kind of thing going on.
Right.
Like, it was just, like, one big performance. And it's kind of cool how that jacket maybe is almost, like, this thing of she's in charge of the circus now, like, not just part of it. Like, she's putting on the show. Because I agree it was, like, a sort of, like, a power look that isn't, like, leaning as much into, like, the whole fun aspects of 22 and, like, the other songs, but kind of, like, the deeper, darker, All Too Well themes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did anyone else expect them? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for me, my favorite costume that I was just like, I really had a hard time deciding, and then like one just kept popping in my head, is the Cinderella Blue for 1989. And I think it's like for two reasons, because number one, it's definitely like the most gorgeous gown of it. I love her ball gowns, and I love the intricate details in it. Like the whole thing is just shimmering, and it's got like all these beautiful pieces to it. But I think also it's like the association with the happiest memory of 1989 Taylor's version being announced, because that's when she brought it out.
Yes.
And I remember just like freaking out. I don't know what time it was, probably 3 a.m. because it was on the East Coast 3 a.m. and it was like 11 in California. But yeah, that is definitely my favorite. And I love all the enchanted ball gowns, actually.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They're stunning. Did not expect her to bring out a new blue look for so many different eras when she announced like the blue folklore, but you know, she really was like hammering it in. I mean, that night for Swiftball, like I selected blue everything that had a blue outfit, but I didn't expect that many.
Right.
I think that was my highest ever Swiftball score.
Nice.
But I didn't expect that many new outfits. I mean, I was like blue and gold lover, you know, but yeah.
I should try to take, like, someone, like, the Taylor Swift style person has that really incredible Excel page that tracks, like, every single outfit she wears every single night.
Yep.
And I was thinking to myself, whoever's winning Swiftball has to be doing some sort of statistical problems to be able to predict what she's doing.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, wait, I can do stats. So all I need to do is, like, take, I don't know, many hours out and, like, figure out equations or whatever and then just start playing Swiftball that way, because I feel like my instincts are never right. Like, I always get something, like, wrong. You know what I mean?
I know. I honestly...
You're going to try to Moneyball Swiftball?
I was using the spreadsheet because... Mm-hmm. And for anybody who, you know, isn't familiar with Swiftball, it's sort of a Twitter game where this one woman on Twitter, Swiftball Alley, will post a ballot before every show, and it's continued into the international... Mm-hmm. And you can submit your ballot online and select, you know, what outfit Taylor's going to wear each night, predict the surprise song she's going to do. I admittedly, you know, when it first came out, I was doing it every single time.
You were obsessed.
I was obsessed with it. I was doing it every single time. I was looking at the spreadsheet.
Absolutely obsessed.
Trying to figure out what was most likely. But I will admit, I've gotten a lot more lax during the international era. And it's probably a lot harder because now that she's doing so many mashups.
Right, exactly.
To predict the songs.
Yeah, but we'll get to that another day, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
There's plenty to talk about.
So then the other side of that question, and I'll start with like my least favorite, but what's your least favorite? And for me, it's kind of a toss-up. I definitely know it's one of the noodle ones, and I'm pretty sure it's, like, the gold with the white noodles that are at the bottom that I'm not, like, the huge fan of. Like, my favorite from that era, Fearless part of the tour, is, like, the fringe thing, which I feel like you know what we're talking about. And then also, my other thing that I just wanted to say is I'm really surprised that she didn't bring out that, like, second Evermore dress more often, because I really love it in comparison to the other one.
I love that one, the bronze.
Yes, the bronze. Like, I feel like it fits so well with the woods theme and all of that in a way that, you know, the orange or yellow one sort of complements it, but I just like the bronze more, and I've been surprised that she's only brought it out maybe, like, a handful of times maximum.
I agree. I feel like the look of the Evermore dress is very cottagecore, which fits with the theme, but the orange color was sort of unusual.
It's I would hop on that and say it's just a little bit too neon. It's a little bit too bright.
Too bright.
And I don't think that really fits with the vibe of the album. Mm-hmm. I also think that a lot of the 1989 outfits are kind of plain and don't have much going on.
I
mean, that's just my opinion. I think a lot of people do like them, but I think that they're kind of plain and they don't have, you know, that sort of spark that some of the other ones have.
Right.
Yeah,
and the material also looks kind of weird. And it kind of makes it.
Zach's not a fan of the fringe. Zach is actually a noodle dress apologist.
Yeah, I like the noodles.
He's not admitting to being a noodle dress apologist, but I am 100% on board with you that gold noodle is the worst one.
It's just like, why? Like, what?
I know. The silver noodle is a little better. The fringe is just so classic Fearless.
It's so cute.
You know?
It's really good. Perfect. That one, it is better than the noodle for sure.
Obviously, as a disclaimer, she still looks stunning in gold noodle, but gold noodle is not my favorite.
Right.
It's not my favorite.
Okay.
This is a
disclaimer.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this is a very quick aside, but the other day I was in CVS and they started playing Fearless, and I was just, like, really, like, reliving the Eras Tour, and I was like, why is no one else in the CVS, like, freaking out right now? Because it's just, like, when you hear Taylor Swift in public,
literally dropped
feels,
to
like,
my knees in CVS.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? Like, stop everything you're doing. She's playing on the radio. Like,
crying.
Okay,
the
other question that I had for you guys, and I'm curious because I don't think we've talked about this before. Do you actually think that there is a correlation between the color of the surprise song dress that she comes out in and the kind of surprise songs that you're going to get? Like, do you think that there's, like, if she comes out in the yellow dress, it's going to be the most heartbreaking song ever or something like that?
I'll answer quickly for time purposes. Yes, it's Taylor. She does things on purpose.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of think no, personally.
Okay.
I think that the correlation is loose at best, and it's not 100% of the time, and I think if it was deliberate, it would be.
Right.
You know, I think that the only piece that felt legitimately pre-planned to me was, you know, she was going to wear the closest thing to the album that she was announcing. So I think, you know, when she announced Speak Now, she came out in the pink, you know, because it was closer to purple. But I'm not sure that I thought the type of song was connected to the dress color. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm not examining all the compelling evidence and somebody's going to put me on blast, but...
Right.
You know what? You'll deserve
it. I agree. Maybe. I agree with that because I remember in the beginning, I was thinking there was a correlation because she did would have, could have, should have, and I remember it was in a yellow dress, and I did drop to my knees in my own room because it was just like, that's my favorite song and I really, really, really wanted to hear it, but that's okay. But then, especially after she made the whole, she can just go back and repeat, like she removed the rule about no repeats, I think it's just so variable. Like, she just picks whatever she wants that day, and it doesn't really have that much correlation with the dress.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
Mm-hmm. All right, do we want to move on to the next segment? Because that's pretty much what
I have. Let's move on to the next segment.
I'm proud of us for keeping on track.
Yeah, we're doing a good job. We're doing a good job.
Props to us.
So, yes. All right, everybody. 2023, which is a big, big year for the box office. You had movies like Barbie. You had movies like Super Mario Brothers, both grossing over $1 billion. And then there was this little-known indie movie called Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, which was nearly 3 hours long. Big deal. Was released in October. And was a major, major success at the box office. Possibly may not have just changed the future of concert movies, perhaps changing the future of films in theaters altogether for viewing audiences.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, this probably would actually be considered an independent film because it was produced in-house.
That's true.
By Taylor Swift Productions with help from Silent House Productions. Mm-hmm. It was filmed in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium over three different nights. at the Eras Tour. Some fans have already begun to notice some inconsistencies from shot to shot, noticing that it was three concerts stitched together, but that's something that you can't avoid, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you have to be a pretty hardcore Swiftie to notice, you know, where her hair is parted from the one shot to the next one, mm-hmm. or how frizzled her hair is because of the humidity. Shooting in LA must be tough for that.
Yeah.
You know, as a side note, the Eras Tour was a hell of an athletic feat.
Yeah.
She
incredible.
Was not just a performer in those shows, she was an athlete. And she needed a certain level of stamina that I don't think any of her peers have. Beyonce is fantastic and in some regard probably does have similar levels of stamina, but she has to do a lot more dancing than Taylor does, maybe. But
she definitely does, yeah.
Yeah.
But Taylor's I would say Taylor's still impressive.
Level of energy and the length of the show truly feels unprecedented. And it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a concert that required so much from just mm-hmm. the singular artist.
Right.
However, what makes this movie really impressive, more than anything, is Taylor's business savvy. By bypassing the major film studios and collaborating directly with AMC Theaters, Taylor was probably able to save millions of dollars and a ton of hours of time that would otherwise be wasted with stubborn film executives and the slow bureaucratic nature of the film industry.
I'm sensing some personal feelings.
According to Billboard, one film studio discussed waiting until 2025 to release the film.
Whoa.
Something I'm sure was a major turnoff for Taylor and her team.
That's crazy.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I frankly was shocked at how fast they managed to get it out after they filmed it.
Right.
Because,
right.
I mean, that trailer came out like a couple weeks after they filmed.
Right.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, really I was also, like, I felt a little bit worried that it was going to feel like they just threw it together as quickly as possible because it came out so fast. But
right.
you know, they did a fabulous, fantastic right. job, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something I would have liked in that movie, and I know maybe it wouldn't have been possible because continuity issues, but it was interesting. Like, I remember it screwed up everyone's Swift Fall as well because she repeated all of the outfits every single night.
I was thinking about that too. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like,
No, you
night two. Oh, night two, I filled out that ballot.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, she's going to film it again. It's going to be the same outfits.
Okay.
I think I talked to Zach about it, and he's like, no. So
yeah,
I changed it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and then obviously by night three, everyone knew that she was repeating it.
Right.
But maybe I'm giving myself too much credit, and I did not know. I don't know.
Well, I definitely did not have the foresight. I was like, oh, she's definitely going to change it. And I don't really know what I was thinking at the time. But I remember I couldn't even, like, look at my Swift Ball score. I was like, whatever. I don't need...
Oof, it was brutal.
Me. Yeah.
It was brutal. That would have been the night to win if you went for that.
That's true.
Although she did change the surprise songs. So
yeah, she did.
We need to have
a dedicated
episode about Swift Ball because you guys cannot stop.
Yeah. Zach, the person who
Swift
didn't
Ball
play
retrospective.
It.
Yeah.
Swift
yeah.
Ball retrospective.
Swift Ball
yes.
was so fun. I was playing that in like Australia at like, I don't know. Noon
I don't like fantasy sports.
Yeah.
This is my problem. I don't even like regular fantasy sports. So Swift
That's
Ball
fair.
Was never going to do it
That's
for me.
Fair.
But
see, as people who are, you know, Zach, you are an actual sports fan. The rest of us, you know, this is the chance that we get to be included in sports other than obviously the Super Bowl in the Travis era.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll be for another two episodes
yeah.
or whatever
yes,
the hell.
Exactly.
We'll be talking
exactly.
plenty about mm-hmm. NFL football way
Swift
more
Ball
than anybody
Alley,
thought.
Swift Ball Alley, if you're listening.
Swift
come
Ball
on the
Alley.
Pod.
You're,
come on the
you're
pod.
Welcome
that
to come
really
at any
cool.
time.
Famous
We've
guest.
Got some facts. Yeah. I would be happy to have guests on this show.
Absolutely.
That would be super
hey,
cool.
Fact, this is the highest, biggest concert movie opening weekend. It grossed over $90 million in its opening weekend, making it the most successful concert film of all time. Just in the opening weekend.
Wow.
That's was because the second highest, I believe, was Justin Bieber, which made $73
mm-hmm.
million.
Oh my God,
I bet you were there. Were you there?
And
I
Mom
don't
must
know
have been
if
there.
I
don't know if she
was
saw
it
the
the Believe one?
Was it Never Say Never?
Never Say Never.
Okay.
I think I've watched it,
73 million, I think. But Taylor Swift beat that in one weekend. But the opening weekend, can anybody tell me the second? The it didn't beat Justin Bieber for the highest opening weekend. Another movie actually had a higher opening weekend. A concert
Another
film.
Concert film?
Yeah. Can anybody guess what it is?
Oh, like another concert film had another the biggest concert film had weekend?
A was biggest it, opening weekend.
Was it the Jonas Brothers 3D?
No, it wasn't.
Was it Michael Jackson?
No, it wasn't. Ooh, Michael Jackson either. It's a good guess.
Wait, was it a woman?
Yes.
And had a ooh, bigger a opening tour? Weekend for a concert tour? Katy
not
Perry?
Bigger than not bigger than Taylor. Not bigger than Taylor. This oh. Taylor beat this one.
Oh, beat the
oh,
record.
Was okay, it, okay.
Ooh. Was there a Whitney Houston movie?
No. Not Whitney Houston.
No idea.
Beyonce?
Nope. It's Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert.
Oh my God.
Grossed $33 million dollars in its opening
weekend. I was there. That was my first concert. Wow. At the actual show.
You were at the actual show. Good for you.
That
I
is
think
so
I
cool.
saw the movie, though.
A few other stats I got online. Highest first day ticket sales in 2023. I believe they sold about $26 million worth of tickets on that day.
I was like, there was a queue to
and
get
was
onto
a queue
the
to
AMC
get on,
site.
To get onto the AMC site. They
to
had
see
to
just
restructure.
The movie.
And they had to increase the they had to increase the capacity on their website by
really?
5 times. And it still was a queue.
I mean, I will say, did I need that queue after already having the pre-existing trauma from the Ticketmaster
experience? I think people were pretty over it by that time.
Yeah, people were over it.
But hey, now it's on streaming. So, you know, you don't got to wait for nothing. What are any thoughts on Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, Taylor's version, as she so aptly calls it? I'm sure Disney maybe helped her come up with that idea.
You think she needed Disney to come up with that?
No, I'm just saying. It's just the concept of Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, Taylor's version doesn't really make much sense, but... I don't know. I thought it was a little bit of a strange choice.
It was always Taylor's version because there were no studios involved.
Right. It
was.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
True. That's a good point.
I did think it was interesting that it went to Disney Plus, given that I guess her last two streaming projects were Disney Plus, you know, the Folklore, Long Pond, and Lover Live from Paris. Although I have been wondering, I'm still upset that Reputation Stadium Tour is gone from Netflix. I'm wondering if
it's a great film.
Maybe Disney got the rights for it. I'm hoping it comes back.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping
it
comes back.
Disappeared. Yeah, that's like such a huge
disappointment.
Honestly,
like so rewatchable. I cried the first time I watched it.
It was really well done. Really well done.
So
and if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. Even if you've seen the Eras Tour, it's just as good.
Yeah,
it's just as good as the Eras Tour movie.
It's definitely comparable.
In my opinion.
The 1989 World Tour, I probably have watched it, yes, but I think everyone has, like, that really funny joke about it, that it looks like whoever was editing, like, did about, like, a million camera angles per second, and that is very true, like, for the 1989 World Tour movie, it's like, the angle changes, like, every 5 seconds,
it
and
is,
you're like,
it
I
is
just wanted
to
stay
watch.
On her.
Yeah. It's hard to watch.
I will admit, I very much prefer the just pure concert format that gives you the, you know, as close to the experience of being at the concert.
Which I think the Eras Tour did a very good job, and the Reputation Tour as well.
Yeah.
Not so. Not a
1989
really...
was more of a documentary, which is not really what I want in a concert film.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to Karma is a Pod. We will have episodes bi-weekly, correct?
We will, and the episodes, it's only uphill from here.
It's only uphill from here. This is the first one. We're only going to get better.
Yes.
We're only going to get better.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got lots to talk about. You know, in fact, this is unfortunately our... Or fortunately, our primary topic of conversation in real life. So we kind of gotta.
Not mine. I talk about all sorts of stuff.
He has many conversations.
I have many interests.
We only have this one.
Yeah, exactly.
I only text Annie about this. Yes, I text actually both of them about this, like all the time. So yeah, I'll have to like stop.
We've had to cut off conversations and say, you know, save it for the podcast.
Save
it for the show.
Many more topics to come.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everybody.
Bye.